אוקיי, רבותיי, ברוכים הבאים. We are studying the Or HaHaim HaKadosh, and we're in Parashat Behar. This is a very, very telling piece about the Or HaHaim HaKadosh himself. In order to appreciate what we're going to do today in Parashat Behar, I'd like to quote what the Rav writes in his Hakdama, in his introduction to the Sefer. And he's talking about some prerequisites that he accepted upon himself in order to succeed, to be mehadesh, to be able to create these novel and wonderful ideas that he writes in his Pirush. And he says that the first thing is להרחיק דברי חול ותענוגי עולם הזה. He distanced himself from any mundane or secular pleasures that have to do with olam hazeh, the worldly matters. Ki hem adevarim hapogmim meikaram. In the Or HaHaim HaKadosh's world, he looks at the pleasures of this world, albeit they might be permissible, but they blunt the soul. They blunt the light of the soul from seeing the true hidushim and the revelations that would normally be available. And he says that velo ya'iru shibile pirushah torah mimekor ha'emet. And even if a person is able to create novel ideas in Torah, if he is going after his desires and pleasures, worldly pleasures, so those divrei Torah are not coming from a true path. It's not coming from an origin that's emet. Ve'im ya'idu, and if he has some light, yiyu kesef sigim. He refers to it as counterfeit. So the Or HaHaim HaKadosh is telling us a big chidush, that to write a pirush on the Torah and to be a true pirush and to be a genuine commentary, it's not enough that the author is brilliant or that he has a good imagination or he's clever and he has the ability to, you know, to imagine great ideas and to put it to the paper. And that's only part of it. But for the Divrei Torah to be emet, to be really connected to the true light, as opposed to the counterfeit that he talks about, that one really has to be a holy person in the sense that he's removed from the physical pleasures of this world. And the Or HaHaim HaKadosh is saying that that's the standard that he put on himself before he writes the book. And he repeats this theme over and over throughout the book. One example is in Parashat Behar. Parashat Behar, it's talking about the laws actually of interest. And the Torah tells us in Perek Chafeh Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Et kaspecha lo titen lo beneshech, that you should not give your money to somebody and he will charge you interest. Neshech is literally, you get bitten, because the one that charges the interest is biting the lender. So therefore, et kaspecha, do not lend your money to somebody with a bite. Ubemarbit lo titen ochlecha. Or if, let's say, you're lending somebody food, you should not, again, be marbit. You should not increase it in the sense that you're asking for more back. So this is, again, the standard pasuk on interest. There's neshech umarbit. Neshech is you're biting the lender by charging him more, and marbit is increasing the amount that was lent. Now, the Or HaHaim HaKadosh learns over here the following. Ve'amar et kaspecha. Kan pidesh mahu neshek v'hatarbit. What is this neshek and tarbit asher machshichim oro? This neshek u'marbit is not merely physical interest, but it has to do with diminishing and causing the soul that has pure light to go dark. Et kaspecha, הם הדברים שהאדם כוסף בעולם הזה לדברים הנדמים. כסף is money. Why is that a word for money, כסף? What's the root word? The root word is לחשוף. לחשוף is to yearn, or to desire, or to anticipate. Because most people, that's the yearning, money. כסף שכולם חושפים אליו, או נחשפים אליו. Everybody is drawn to it and desires it. So when the pasuk says, את כספך, these are things that people crave, and they're drawn after. Olam hazeh, physical things, that the Rab says that they are really only nidmim. Nidmim is that they are an illusion. They're not really worth anything, but the Yetzer Hara makes them look valuable and makes them look as they're really pleasurable, and he doesn't show us the real worthlessness of it. It's like what we say in the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, v'hadash'a chula be'ashan tichle. And some have the text, ke'ashan tichle, that the evilness in this world is compared to smoke. If you ever saw a smokestack that's bellowing smoke into the sky, and that smoke looks like a reality. It looks like it's something tangible. It looks like something you could grab onto. But we all know that it's actually nothing. It dissipates into thin air. And that's exactly the desires of this world. They look pleasurable. They look like they're tangible. They look like they're a reality. But at the end of the day, the Rav says, "Hanidmim." They're only an illusion. And therefore, et kaspecha, your desires, your worldly pursuits, lo titen lo beneshech, don't let your neshama get bitten by it. Ki kishe'adam mashlim ta'avat nafsho habahamit, when a person fulfills his animalistic desire, mat'im ruho mechisufav hu nashuch bazeh, it only draws away the spirit of holiness, mechisufav, because of his desires, he becomes bitten by it and damaged by it. Umatil bo elesachet, and the venom of the sin goes into the soul, and as a result, he's unable to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the level. So he's learning this pasuk in a tremendous musad. Et kaspecha, regarding your cravings, lo titen lo, don't give into the yetzer hara, beneshech, because if you do, it's going to be a sting and a bite. It's going to be a biting of the soul, and that's going to cause the poison of sin to enter, and therefore the neshama is not going to have the light. And then it says, ubimarbit לא תיתן אוכלך. אוכלך, שהוא דבר שהוא רשת לאכול. אוכלך means your food, which clearly the Torah allows us to eat. God did create us with a certain craving and desire to get hungry. So the Rav says, no problem, he allows you to eat, but לא תרבה בו, but do not overeat. כי כשאדם הולך אחר גרונו, person goes after his throat, his taste, ויתה גבול התאווה שבו, and he passes the border of desire, which means, yes, we get hungry, we have desire to eat. The Rav is saying, there's no problem to fulfill that desire to eat, but be careful, because fulfilling that desire, if it's not protected, it could lead to what he refers to as motarot. Motarot is extra. And that extra is not sanctioned. Even though it's kosher food, and even though it's kosher wine, the Rav is telling you that if you want to reach levels that the neshama will be able to have the unadulterated light, and the spirit of a Kadosh Baruch Hu will bask through the person, so that's only when a person is removed from the physical things. And in the beginning he's telling you, don't go after the desirous things that are forbidden. That's et kaspecha, things that human beings are drawn after. Lo titen, do not give beneshech. Don't let yourself get bitten by it. And then he says, ובמרבית לא תיתן אוכלך. When it comes to eating, you can eat, but don't eat in excess. Don't eat במרבית, למותרות. Because what's going to happen? יחשיך עוד הנפש. Because it's going to darken and eclipse the light of the soul. כי כשזה קם, זה נופל. The Rav gives us a very important equation that when this rises, this falls. כשזה קם, זה נופל. Which means when the physical body is increasing in its intake, so the spiritual is going to fall. And when the body is minimized, then the spirituality is going to rise. It seems clear from the Rav that you cannot have both physical enjoyment and spiritual high level at the same time. It says it's a scale. One goes up, one goes down. So therefore he says, כשמתרבית תאבון המורגש, when a person goes after his physical, materialistic pleasures, sensory pleasures that he feels, מתמעט תאבון הרוחני. Amazing. It means there's a certain appetite that one can have for spiritual things. But that appetite only is aroused and felt when you break the appetite for physical items. Which means a person cannot be enjoying all the pleasures of this world and still taste the sweetness of the ruhaniyut, of the spirituality. Well, this is it's a big question. We hear it all the time from people. Rav, I don't feel it. I don't feel the sweetness in the learning. I don't feel the sweetness in the praying. I don't feel the sweetness in the mitzvot. Yeah, I'm doing it like a robot. It's mechanical. I go through the motions, but I don't feel the excitement. And this probably could be the reason, because the pasuk is telling you over here that when one is over involving himself and indulging in physical pleasures, albeit they could be permissible, but then already you lose the taste for the spiritual. That means it has to be a refined taste, and you only get it when you're not involving yourself in other things that might spoil the taste of it. And therefore the Rav says, Sadiq ochel lesova nafsho, that Sadiq eats in order to satiate himself, because his body needs nutrition. However, lo lahana'at hergesh, but he doesn't eat for the hana'ah. He doesn't eat for the pleasure. I mean, this is an Or HaHaim HaKadosh that is so removed from our generation. In our generation, all we care about is what's the kashrut. And once we establish that it's a legitimate kashrut and we hold by it, that's it, eat away. And we don't even think for a second that there can be a damage in eating kosher food. Because once a person starts to go more than he has to, then already he starts to lose from the feeling. And then he wants to know if he ate a 7-course meal and it's a kemach yashan and it's halav Yisrael and bishul Yisrael and all the kosher stringencies. And then he's wondering why he doesn't taste his learning. Because again, his tastes are limited or are directed only to the physical items. And again, kishazeh kam zeh nofel. So when you're elevating the physical appetite, the spiritual appetite is going to feel it. And therefore the Rav is telling you, in this pasuk, et kaspecha, your kisufim, your desires, your wants, lo titenlo. Don't give in to it. Beneshech, because you have to know it's a bite and it's a poisonous bite. And the soul's going to feel the darkness. And uba marbit, and even in excess, lo titen ochlecha. Don't put your food, your eating, which is permissible, don't do it bimarbit, because that's already ta'ava. And if you want to feel the ta'ava ruhani, the spiritual desires, you have to remove yourself from the physical desires. Again, high levels to reach. We are so accustomed just to learn about kosher and not kosher, permissible and not permissible. Here the rabbis come up and say, that's a low level. You can eat kosher your whole life, but it doesn't mean you're going to feel this ta'ava ruhani. And the Rav, in a classic commentary in Parashat Ki Tavo, I have to read it to you because I heard once from Rav Chaim Brim, alav shalom, when he explained us this Or HaHaim HaKadosh. It's a famous one in Ki Tavo, Chav Vav Yud Aleph, in Devarim, where the Rav comes along and quotes the Pasuk, the Samachta Bechol HaTov. So then you'll rejoice in all of the good. Hashem Natan, Hashem Elohecha. So the Rav is explaining, what is this Kol HaTov? What is this ultimate good that you're going to rejoice in? Gam Yirmoz B'Ma'amar Bechol HaTov El HaTorah. It's referring to the Torah. It's good to hear this before Shavuot. Ke'ma'amaram Zal, Ve'en Tov El HaTorah. We know that the ultimate good in the world is Torah. Shimayu b'nei adam madgishim b'metikut v'arevut tov haTorah. If the people would just feel the sweetness and the delightness, arevut, meaning the pleasure of the Torah, hayu mishtagirim, they would go crazy. U'mitlahatim ahareha, and they would be running after it and being drawn after it. Ve'lo yachshov, ve'lo yachashev be'enehem. They wouldn't consider anything in their eyes. Melo ha'olam, from this world. Kesef be'zahav le'me'uma. All the money, the gold and the silver in this world would be considered nothing and worthless. Ki ha'Torah kolelet kol ha'tovot sheba'olam. Because the Torah includes all the good of this world. Here the Ohayim HaKadosh is telling you, if you were merited, if you were zochet to taste the sweetness of Torah, like we say every morning in the morning, blessings of Birkat HaTorah v'Ha'arev, that means make the Torah sweet. Now, for Hashem to make the Torah sweet, it's sweet. You don't have to add any sweetening sugar to the Torah. It's sweet on its own. The problem is we have a bad taste of physicality in our mouth. You know, if you eat an onion, so then everything you taste that day is going to taste like an onion because you have a bad taste already in your mouth. So even the most delicious foods are going to lose their ta'am. And I'm just going to say, if you feel and you know and you tasted the sweetness, which he refers to, metikut and arevut of the Torah, first of all, you can go out of your mind, meaning in a way where it's so overwhelming and you'd be drawn after it and you'd be running and chasing it. And nothing in this world would really mean anything. And that means if we're still being drawn by the physical pleasures and the luxuries and the hanaot of this world, it's only for one reason. Even though we're learning, but you haven't tasted it yet. Yeah, you're learning, but you didn't get the flavor yet. And therefore, you still think that there's other things that are more delectable, other things that are more appetizing, other things that are more, you know, desirous. But that's an indictment against all of us, to the speaker for sure, because if we felt the enjoyment of learning like we should, nothing else would occupy us. We'd be so drawn after it that no physical pleasure. Yeah, you'd eat, but you'd eat the minimum amount just to sustain yourself, and then you'd go back to the learning, as the Orach HaMakadosh says in a different place. And these are, you know, I'm giving you just a little examples of Dura HaMakadosh's understanding. We learned in Parashat Aharemot, Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Bet. So over there, he's explaining David HaMelech's Pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Mem, Pasuk Tet, V'Toratecha Betoch Me'ay. David HaMelech is saying, your Torah is in my stomach. Now, what does it mean, your Torah is in my stomach? It's interesting. We just came back from Eretz Yisrael, and the great Mekubal Rabbi Yaakov Hillel Shelita, Rosh Shivat Ahavat Shalom, was commenting on this pasuk, and he actually was telling us this concept of what does it mean, Torah Techa Betoch Me'ay. Your Torah is in my stomach. The Torah is not in the stomach. The Torah is in the head. The Torah is in the mind. It's intellectual. He was saying that the Orach Haim HaKadosh reached such madregot that when he learned Torah, it's like he was physically satiated. It's like when a person eats a steak, and after he finishes eating the steak, he's, wow, that was delicious. And he pats his stomach, he's, wow, that was good. That was a good meal. You hear people talking about the good meals that they ate. The Orach HaMakadosh says, when he studied a good piece of Gemara, Rashi and Tosafot, that was a good dinner. It means the ta'ava. You shouldn't think Orach HaMakadosh didn't enjoy life. No. He enjoyed life more than all of us. He enjoyed life on the highest pleasure. It's just that we never experienced it because we're still playing with the small things, the things that seem pleasurable, but are actually only a smokescreen. The Rav Kadosh was able to divest himself from all that other stuff and therefore really tap into the real pleasures of life, which is a big misnomer that people have, that, you know, those people that study Torah all day long, they're depriving themselves of all the hana'ot from Olam Hazeh. Yeah, they'll get Olam Haba, but poor guys, they have given up and relinquished their pleasures in Olam Hazeh. That's not the case. Those that really have tasted the sweetness of Torah, they're not giving up anything. When they look at everybody else running after their physical pleasures, they feel bad for them. They said, poor guy, he's eating onions all day long and he thinks that that's sweet. He hasn't tasted what mitikut ha'arvut ha'torah is. And that's what Orah Mekadosh said, b'toratecha b'toch me'ay. I'll quote you his lashon in that piece. He says, perush lerov heshek amodat ha'kodesh, that he has such a desire to amodat ha'kodesh, ad shemargish b'lomdot Torat Hashem, that he feels when he's learning Torat Hashem, kilu ochel, u'memale b'nem me'av me'mazon. It's as if he's eating physical food. He feels that he broke his appetite. His appetite is fulfilled, which is a tremendous, tremendous level. And that's the key. The key is what the Rav says over here. Don't get bitten by the kesef, by your desires. Don't overeat. Don't overindulge. Sadiq ochel, there'll be a benefit. Forget about that. It'll be a benefit to your physical body, that you won't indulge so much, you lose some weight, you'll probably be more healthy. But besides that, when the body is reduced, the spirituality is increased, and all of a sudden you start to feel the tefillah, you start to feel the connection, you start to feel the shekhinah that's running through the person's soul. I once explained that maybe that's the explanation that when a person makes a sin. In the olden days, you had to bring a korban. You have to bring an animal. And you take the animal and you slaughter it. It's actually not mine. It's based on a sefer hachinuch. What's the pshat? Why you have to bring an animal and slaughter it? Explanation is because what part of us brings us to sin? It's the animal in us. And unfortunately, it's the animal that's the interference between the soul and the or that's supposed to come down, the light. The body's interfering. And therefore, if we were drawn after sin, that means we gave a priority body over soul. And therefore, we have to slaughter the animal, which is a remez. You have to break the barrier of the animalistic desire in order for the neshama to be connected without any barriers or interferences or hatzitzot. And this is what the Rav is saying, that when one deprives himself from physical pleasure, don't think that you're giving up too much, because if you could redirect that to Torah learning and mitzvot, you'll start to feel something, that you'll be so drawn after it that nothing else will feel important or feel pleasurable. And all you'll have a desire is just to sit and learn and be drawn to spirituality. Or the Orah Chaim HaKadosh definitely reached this level. That's why the pirush that he has is so pure, because it's coming from Or Emet. It's not Kesef Sigim. It's not that counterfeit Devre Torah that the Rav was worried about in his introduction. He says, it's not here. He said, in order to write the book, I didn't only purify my mind, but he purified his body. And therefore, his chiddushim are so penetrating, because, again, not based necessarily on the intellect of the Rav, which was obviously very high, but it was who the man was. Compare that to some of the Greek philosophers like Socrates and Aristotle, that the testimonies on them were that they might have had great intellect, but they were not, they were not decent in their behavior. And their bodies, they were drawn after the pleasures of life. And therefore, the Rav is telling us, if you want to taste it, first you have to clean yourself from all the fake food, all the fake stuff, that although it seems pleasurable, because we never tasted really the good stuff. And to taste the good stuff, which is the ruhani, you have to deprive yourself or move away. And I don't think it has to be, cold turkey. It has to be done to an extreme. The more one decreases the physical, he'll feel spiritual. The person shouldn't say, well, the rabbi's telling me all or nothing. No, it's not so. it's kishaze ole zenofel. So all you have is decrease even a little in the physical, and all of a sudden you'll start to see the physical, the spiritual will rise a little. And you'll start to taste the difference. And then you'll start to say, wow, this is good. And you can do a little more. But it's not something that's done overnight. Obviously, this takes, you know, a great avodah, but it's important to know exactly what the goal is. So again, I think this Surah Hamad Kadosh and Parashat Behar is very significant for us, especially now that we're coming to the weeks before Shavuot, which is Zaman Matan Toratenu. So we have to start to apply this great rule of Surah Hamad Kadosh, because Zekam Zenofer. Shabbat Shalom.